Okay, this is session number three from Falling in Fun. Doe Jasnik, and today's topic is fun blockers. One of my favorite quotes, get this in your brain. The first sign of a nervous breakdown is when you begin to think your work is important. Isn't that perfect?
Yeah.
I mean, that just says it all. In the grand scheme of things, it is important. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean a thing. So, the first sign of a nervous breakdown is when you begin to think your work is important. Fun blocks are like sunblocks, which we have today, sunscreens, things that screen out our fun. When people are not having fun, what are some of the reasons that they're not having fun? And I'm talking about people that are in this wide range of okayness, not people in serious trouble off one end or, you know, out there on the other end, but, you know, most of us, most of the time. Sort of talking about long-range personality types, shall we say, that just have an aversion to having fun. So I'd like to just talk a little bit about what you think some of the reasons why they're not having fun. What is it that, you know, makes people...
Some people think fun is frivolous.
Okay.
The pragmatic side of them, mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem right.
Okay, that's left brain people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Attitude.
Frivolous. Okay.
Attitude. Everything has to be just right. You know, sun has to be out. Mm-hmm. And all these things before they can allow mm-hmm. themselves to have fun.
We're worried about what other people might think of us if we act a little bit silly or childlike.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably one of the biggest, isn't it? What people think? Who cares? You know?
They've been given lots of messages along the way that they mm-hmm. shouldn't have fun.
Oh, yes.
That life isn't fun.
Right. Life is a burden. Big responsibility here. Huh?
I think going along with the pragmatism is uh-huh. some people are just so busy doing things that they forget that they need to sit back and have some fun sometimes.
Okay, doing. Okay.
I wanted to bring up your home that you're living in. It has a lot of bearing on what your inner feelings are when you get up in the morning and when you pull into the driveway and you're off work. I try to think that when I'm at home, I'm on vacation, and when I leave town, I'm on holidays.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. That's very nice, because that's the way I feel too. Hey, my home is just my little beach house, you know.
Right.
It isn't. It's an upstairs apartment, but you know, to me, it's my little oasis, and it's just I have it. I surround myself with all the things that I like, you know. And it's just
sure.
the way I want it. And there again, some people are afraid to undecorate their homes to their liking, and it has to be like in the magazine or in the department store or whatever. I can remember when we were first married, I bought a coral painted bedroom set. It's awful to me now, but at that time it was a strong statement that I, just being married in the 50s, I was not going to be that typical woman with an apron and, you know, do this. And I wore shorts, and the only woman in the neighborhood that wore shorts and had this coral bedroom set, you know. It was really going to be me. I was me, all right. But I learned to sort of temper those things. It's never been done that way. How many times have you heard that? And I heard that a lot as a child. Well, you just don't do it that way. Why not? You know, why not? What will people think? I'm too old to change. Even people that are 30 say, I'm too old to change. You know, I've set in my ways. that's a real sad commentary on what you think your life is all about. Then you're 40 and you're really in stone, and by the time you're 50 or 60, wow, oh, brittle and rigid. And we all know people like that. That I don't know if I mentioned the next book that is hovering over our heads is one about you don't have to grow old if you keep growing. And we're going to use the idea of a carousel, that life is a carousel. And some people don't even buy a ticket. And some people will buy a ticket and sit on that bench on the side and watch the horses go by. And other people will sit on a slow-moving horse. And other people will sit on a fastest-moving horse and grab for that brass ring. And you know, that brass ring doesn't know how old you are. So if we think of that in our lives as when we grow older, out there doesn't know how old you are. So grab for it, whatever it is. And I just sort of feel I'm living proof of this. I'm going to be, and let's see, I love this, in 13 months I'm going to be 70 years old.
Huh.
And last 2 years ago, I got one of the top paying, best jobs in the country in my field in Aspen, Colorado. And I took it for all the little old ladies in the world. I had to do that, you know, just for the fun of it. And I did it. I did a darn good job. But I decided that Aspen lifestyle was not for me. And so I resigned and came back, and I'm doing what I'm doing now. So I feel that, you know, I have some credibility in saying, go for it, that, you know, you might be surprised. You might get it. And so to say I'm too old to change or I'm too old to grow is a sure way to start dying, you know? Also, or I'm too young to carry that much responsibility. You know, who says so? You've seen a lot of people, you know, at 20 or 25 who are shouldering tremendous responsibilities when they allow themselves to be put into that spot and learn how to focus and learn how to accept that. And that's, you know, a tremendous challenge that they have accepted, and they're going to keep growing. Another one, a great one, is I can't afford it. I always say I can't afford not to, whatever it is that I need. And, you know, I think we have all found that if you need it, you know, the Lord will provide. And does. Or today is Thursday. Isn't that a wonderful excuse, you know? I mean, I was director of a preschool in Chula Vista, California, and the program director for the PBS TV station at the University of California, San Diego, had her little child in our program. And she came in one morning just dragging this little Benji by the hand, just, I'm, you know the scene, dragging this kid. And he's just looking up, what the heck's the matter with her, you know? And she's just getting turned around. She's, oh, she came in. I said, can't remember her name. And said, good morning, you know, how's Benji today? She's, you know, she's, and so she threw the kid in the door and signed him in and came out. And I said, got a problem? She said, you know what this kid did? We went out yesterday and bought a $2,000 painting, still wet on the artist palette. So we just canvas, and brought it home and hung it in our living room. Oh, she was just into this living room perfection stuff, you know. Right. And she just hung it. And last night after we went to bed, Benji, who was four, got up and he just...
Oh, boy!
Can't you see it? Oh, he had such a wonderful time. It was just great. You know, and I just loved it. I said, great. I said, oh, can you imagine? I mean, you know, how long is it going to take you to see the humor in that? Well, it's not funny, you know. She stormed off. And it was, you know, about, oh, maybe 10 days later, she came in and she said, you know, just every single person that walks in our house just has a blast looking at that painting. It's the conversation piece of our house, and we love it, and we're going to keep it. What else is she going to do, you know? And she just thought I was cruel to laugh at it, you know? I was. Well, I couldn't help it. I knew she'd come around. Yeah, but it took time. Oh, that hurts. I mean, you know, I can imagine. But try and do that to people. And that's what I was saying yesterday. I kind of pushed the edge on this fun bit because there is humor in almost everything. Okay, I think this morning what I'd like to do is just to have you guys work together on some things. And I've done all the talking, and now I think you need to get it out here. And so we'll just kind of gather in little groups of four or five, or I don't care how many, whatever. And this is an opportunity to get out your concerns or your chance to personalize your own fun blocks. I'm going to take a single suggestion from getting rid of your fun blocks. And fun block number one, and I want you to just get together and brainstorm about this. And we need to, there's going to be five of these. So we need to be very specific and stick to the exact concern that we're talking about here. And come up with a couple of fun blocks or beliefs or attitudes that fall into this category. Come up with some examples of, yes, I remember this happening, or I, or she, or he, or they, or whatever. And just explore it, however you choose to. And the first one is, I must act my age fun downer. Those who refuse to take part in an activity because they believe they've outgrown such foolishness are suffering from a true fun downer. They say such things as, she should know better than to try to be a majorette at her age. They refuse to join the three-legged race or the egg toss at the company picnic. They choose to stand still and watch other couples walking on the beach when they could use the exercise and the hand-holding. To overcome the act your age fun downer, be a participant in all your relationships, young and old. And remember, roller skates, bicycles, slides, and swings come in all sizes. Mm-hmm. So, just gather up in your little groups now and talk specifically about, I've got to act my age. Why must I act my age? I'm not going to act my age. Okay? Okay, well, the second topic I'd like you to grab onto is, I must always be whom I'm expected to be. You live behind a fun screen if you feel the need to fit your established roles at all times. The stern and in-control father, the gotta-make-it-big in the professional world woman, the high-risking executive, the super mom, the super mate. Do you worry a lot about what to say, what to wear, what to serve, whom to spend your time with? If you try constantly to measure up to others and your own expectations of yourself, you will probably screen out your fun. Stop protecting your super-responsible image behind a fun screen. Give in to spontaneity. Have a get-together and dress up or dress down or out of style. But know that you never have to disguise yourself in order to have good, clean, classic fun. People who respect your capabilities will appreciate your lighter side, too. So the idea of being the professional whatever, do we have trouble always being that in that role? Okay, have some fun with that.
Okay.
What do you think you are?
Okay,
can we come to a quick conclusion here on this topic? And do we have anything to share? Anybody have anything to share on professionalism and getting hung up on playing a role? Playing that role, going out the door in the morning and saying, I must be such and such. Okay, anybody, any comments on that? guys have something to say?
I'll make a comment, which is a personal bias. I think that's okay, as long as we have other parts of our life where we have balance, you know, fun and so forth. And again, I distinguish between achievement
absolutely
in the workplace and having fun elsewhere.
I agree, 100%. Wow. You're absolutely right. Right. However, when you get so hung up on being that role that you come home and you say, as I have some friends whose husbands are big execs in big corporations, come home, get me my coffee. No, I'd love to get your coffee, dear. I don't want to be summoned to do it. I don't want to be ordered. You can order at work, but you can't order here. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, playing this role, being, you know, that you can't relax and be a human being. How many executives do you know that are still the big shot at home or wherever they go, or have to play that role? I agree, you have to do that. I mean, I'm very professional. I, you know, have headed big stuff and can run a big board meeting. I was chairman of the board, president of the corporation in Aspen, and did all that stuff. But, you know, when it's over, it's over. Let's go have margaritas, you know? So, you're all right. Okay.
Most pastors feel very limited by their congregations.
Yes.
By
yes
the role that
good
they
point
must feel.
Yes.
And
yes
if they feel something else, they hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They will. That's a tough razor's edge to walk on, isn't it, for pastors who have to be all things to all people.
Their fun is limited.
And, well, I guess it depends on the pastor. My pastor, the Bill that I was talking about yesterday in the pottery business, he is able to somehow manage it. If people don't like the fun side of him, he just says, you know, I'm really sorry. You'll have to find a more serious pastor somewhere, that's all. It
takes a very winsome personality.
Yeah, and he has that.
Yes.
He has
yeah
that. Yeah. So he's doing great things, and the church is growing, and it's, you know, an exciting place to be. And people that want to grab onto it, fine. You know, and if you don't, well, that's okay. Mm-hmm. How about you guys over there? Anybody else?
I don't know. You know what old Shakespeare said? He says, life's a stage and we're all actors. It depends on what part you want to play. So.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. There are times when it's fun to play a role, isn't
oh
it?
Oh, sure. I enjoy
bet
it. I get off on it sometimes.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, we all do. That's
all right.
Right. But when you get so hung up on being that thing, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Then you know, then I like to scratch off that mask that you put up that, you know, allows me from seeing into your eyes and seeing the soul that's in there,
that's,
you know?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. How about you guys? Did you come up with anything over here?
Well, one comment I think is we were programmed. One thing we maybe agreed here on there as we talked is that we were kind of programmed into being pretty serious about life at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, we could maybe have taken on more responsibilities or mm-hmm have been situations where we feel like, well, if we don't take the responsibility, who is, you know? And I know I have that problem myself.
I had one other comment. Yeah. I had a banker once tell me, he says, Tom, he says it only takes one mistake. And when we reach 18 years of age, when we sign our name to something, we really commit ourselves. And all of us should always remember that our responsibilities can be so overbearing on all of us if we just don't realize what we're doing when we're signing for something, and then our obligations have just mushroomed into all of these things and piled up on us. So I think some people sometimes sign their name too many times to things.
Yeah,
if,
good way
if not
putting,
the
yeah
if not signing their name,
right,
obligating themselves
right
to some too much.
Not knowing when to say no.
Yes, yes. And it takes the fun out of
that's
out of
right
their life.
Of what you're doing.
It does. It takes the fun out of it.
We're talking balance here, aren't we?
Right, exactly.
Balance.
Yeah.
It's a key word. Okay, number four. The I've got a million excuses fun burner. You may recognize this fun block. It's the fun burner habit, the chronic crippling tendency to make excuses for not having fun. Do you automatically turn down suggestions or invitations? Are you the one who backs out of fun at the last minute? Do you rationalize away your fun and fun burners statements with statements like this? Well, we can't get a babysitter. It costs too much. I'm too tired. It's more trouble than it's worth. The weather's damp or cold or hot or windy or snowy. To avoid the fun block of constantly burning your own fun, reschedule some fun and then follow through. Remind yourself, excuses will always be there. Today will not. Okay, let's all come up with some of your own excuses.
These things just have to be very often.
Okay. Good one. Yeah.
I celebrate my birthday every month of the year. And so on the 27th, I do something
good idea.
Fun. And then on my half birthday, I do something really
fun. Really fun.
On my whole birthday, I do something really, really fun.
Oh, it's wonderful.
So that's something I do.
Good.
I try to put dots in my life.
Perfect. So you that sort of ensures you're keeping track.
Yeah, so Holden's like one big pink line.
I love it. I know, I hate these people that say, my birthday was yesterday. You know, give me a break. You know, that's no fun. I advertise my birthday. I never have less than 7 or 8 parties for my birthday. Because, you know, everybody knows it's coming and they know I love parties and, you know, we just, it happens. So advertise your birthday. You know, tell them it's coming. What are you going to do for me? You know, it's all in fun and people will respond. Trust me.
I know.
Plan your own party.
And I would if I didn't have any others. I would do my own part.
Buy your own gift.
Right.
I do that.
The last thing, just for a few minutes, and we'll sort of lead into tomorrow's topic. Fun block number 5 is funophobia. You may have the most serious fun block of all, fear of fun or funophobia. You may believe that if you loosen up to allow fun into your life, somehow you'll be out of control. Let's just talk about that.
That's what I was talking about.
Why is that, and what are we afraid of? And come up with some instances where you think that might happen. Or think of situations where others have said to you, well, that's not a good idea, simply because of their fear of your getting out of control. Does that ring a bell from your childhood, maybe, or workplace or something? You know, what is it that people, I'll comment on, and they're going to run down that hill, and we know they're going to fall all the way down and roll down.
You know, in other words,
and you know, I just sort of feel that, or climb up a tree, and we know they're going to fall. And you know, my philosophy is if they can get up, they can get down. And it really works. And both my children and my 3 grandchildren have been allowed to do their thing, and they are totally responsible citizens and a heck of a good time. So I've seen it work, and we just need to allow others to explore those things. And if they fall, they'll pick themselves up. We don't have to set those guidelines for that. We don't have to put them in boxes. So I'd just like to close today with sharing this little sort of meditation. This day, setting aside all that divides me from others. This day, remembering that the world is beautiful to him who is willing that it be so. And that into the open, eager heart, the beauty enters in if love be there. This day, I will make a part of the song of life. There may be grief, but if there be love, it will be overcome. There may be pain, but it can be borne with dignity and courage. There may be difficulty, but it can be turned to strength. Remembering that the world is beautiful, if I will let it be so for others whom I meet. This day, I will make a part of the song of life. And you are all a part of that song today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And tomorrow we'll be